Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
So it was really, really a good time. A couple things while you're getting ready. You're getting your Bibles in front of you and get your papers, notes, and we're going to get into our message. We're starting a new study this morning. It's going to, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about the subject. I'll have to explain it in just a moment. But while you do that, let me just a reminder, if you're interested or have at all thought about having a Bible study in your home or doing a small group in cooperation with other people, and you want to learn how to do that and maybe what that involves, we'd like to help you. We'd like to train you. So we're signing up. There's a slip of paper in your handouts today. And maybe you just want to explore that, what it means to do that. Come, find out, make your choice after that. But our intention is to start more small groups this fall during our spiritual growth campaign. And we're going to need leaders to start them up. It's a great fellowship. And one more announcement before we go. We've gone through the summer, and usually the fall time is the beginning, the startup of a lot of things here at the church. So the weekend after Labor Day weekend is when we fire back up the Bible studies, the Sunday school classes, the Bible Institute that is going on, and things like that. But we're also going to make a little service change again. The only way it's going to affect you is that it's going to move you to 10:30. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an 8:30 service over on this side and a 10:30 service on this side, okay? So you have the 10:30 service, the contemporary service, the 8:30 service. We're moving over here Saturday night, 5 o'clock still. That remains the same. So if you haven't tried Saturday night, try it out. It's a great service. It'll fit into a good Sabbath for you and your family on the Saturday evening and then Sunday, so you need to give that a try. And then on Wednesday nights, our services have been being held on the East Auditorium. We're moving that back here also to the West Auditorium because of the meals and the atrium. All of this is going to utilize the atrium and the dynamics of being together as a church. We think it's going to be a good move this time, okay? All right, look at our title, Good God, Bad God, small g, please take note of. And what we want to do over the next couple of weeks is we want to contrast. Now, I use that word, and I want to be careful here. In no way are we going to have any desire to glorify the bad God or the God of this world. We want to expose him for what he is. How many know he needs to be exposed for what he is? It's a reality, folks. There's a warfare going on. The warfare is over the souls of man. That warfare continues even after you make a commitment to Christ. And sometimes we're not aware, or sometimes we live in somewhat of a darkness and deception to the ways and means in which he tries to get into our lives to influence us in a negative way. We want to point out the fact that our God is a good God. He is a good God. How many know God is a good God? And we want to explore the goodness of our God and our concept of God and how people look in the different ways they look at God. So this morning is kind of an introduction to that, and we're going to get into that. But this past week, something took place in my life and something I was personally involved in that reinforced for me in a very personal way that he is more than good, has been more than good to me. And not only is he good as far as his attributes go, which you could begin to identify as he is so majestic, past finding out his holiness, no one can stand alongside of his power, his sovereignty, his grace, his mercy, his justice, and all of that. And yet, the God that we serve is so great, and yet he steps down right into our lives. He comes down and he meets us where we're at. He meets us where we're hurting. He meets us where we're being disappointed and discouraged and battered by the enemy. And he gives us the opportunity to be free from that. He took it upon himself to take the first step and give his life that we might begin to have life. And then he's given us his Holy Spirit and guidance to continue to walk with him. And that, once again, was revealed to me this past weekend. A couple of months ago, Peter Warren, who's the director of Youth with a Mission base, which is right here on our campus, and most of you know that, sits on the northwest section of the property here. It's a great base, has been. We've been in a relationship for 24 plus years. And Peter came to me and said, listen, we believe that God's put something on our heart to go back to the West Coast, to the Orange County area, where we believe that 40 years ago, it was kind of like the epicenter of the Jesus movement. Now, give or take years on both end of that, but 40 years ago, 1971, was the beginning of a great spiritual awakening and a revival. If you were around and alive at that time, you know that this was true. But not only was there an awakening that we titled the Jesus Movement, not only was it for just a generation of young people, but at that time there was a sweeping revival of the Spirit of God that was crossing over denominations, was moving right into the seats of churches and stirring people's heart that this relationship with Christ needs to be more than religious. It has to be a living relationship. It has to be one in which you see that God is not only alive in your heart, but he has purpose for you and plan for you. And there was such a stirring, such a turning back to the Word of God that churches like ours and many others sprung up across this country and around the world. And for the last 40 years or so have had a tremendous impact on the kingdom of God. This was a result of God moving on this planet Earth. So the vision was this: God, could you do it again? Lord, could this be, you know, after 40 years, could there be a great move of your Spirit that would stir the hearts of men and women, not just a generation of young people, but cross over into all generations? Listen, I want a revival and an awakening in my generation. I want to see God move on all peoples. It's got to happen, folks. God's not through yet. If God was finished with the earth, he would have come back. But the very fact that he hasn't returned tells us that he's still being long-suffering toward mankind, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He wants us to be part of it, whether you're a young person, middle-aged person, married, older, elderly person. It can happen. And by pointing out the goodness of God and pointing out the defects of this God of this world, I think we're going to begin to see how it is quite possible and what needs to be accomplished. So when Peter brought that up, I thought, wow, count me in. You know, so what they were doing is they were going to go out to California in the Orange County area, and they were going to rally some Youth with a Mission students and staff, and they were going to converge on that community, and they were going to hit the streets and hit the beaches and hit the buses and transportation and just begin to witness for Christ, share the love of God, and then every evening they were looking for a place to have a tent so that they could have a meeting every evening during this whole week-long or 10-day-long outreach. Well, there's several reasons why I wanted to be involved in it, because my prayers are for that kind of movement to happen again. But it was 40 years ago, last weekend, August 22nd, 1971, I got saved. I was part of the Jesus Movement. And the beginnings of my walk were right there in that area, and this was going to take place in Huntington Beach in Orange County area. That's where I found myself located with Chuck Smith, as Dennis is a friend of Chuck's and knows. We talked about it before. So that was another reason for me to go. It would just be kind of a time. And Peter said that we're going to do this. And then a Thursday, we're going to have a water baptism in the ocean. And again, I was baptized 40 years ago in the ocean by Chuck Smith. So this all was something that I was interested in. I didn't have a whole lot of time because of the schedule during the summer and coming back, but I needed to take a couple of days. So Wednesday, this past week, I was flying out to Orange County. Let me just share with you a few things that happened. This is the message, because I want to point out how good and faithful our God is in a tremendous way. If you want to see more, you go to Facebook, OC Uprising was called. You'll see pictures, you'll see testimonies of the things that are happening. I don't have time to share it all with you, but I will share some personal things with you and show you a short video. I flew in on Wednesday, and I was to meet Peter, and then Wednesday night he had asked me to share at the tent meeting, and then on Thursday to hang around, and I would participate in the baptism in the ocean this time, and I would fly back here on Friday. So I fly in, I get to John Wayne Airport in Ocean City early in the morning, and I call Peter up immediately, and we're going to meet over at the church where they were headquartering. There were five churches, there were more churches involved, but there were five churches where 200 plus Youth with a Mission staffers and students were staying, about 40 in each church. They were living in sleeping bags and sleeping in gyms and on the sanctuary floors and things like that. But the one church there, right off 410 and Beach Boulevard, called The Refuge, one of Calvary Chapel's churches, was kind of their headquarters, and they were having a meeting at 10:30. I was early. So I said, Peter, where's there a Starbucks? I want to stop buying a Starbucks. Now, I like Starbucks and other coffee, but I'm not one to really look for one. That's my wife. My wife has to look for one. We go anywhere, where's the Starbucks? You know, But I get a Starbucks. I was early. Peter said, oh, there's one right by the church. It's just in the mall across the street, right off 410 on Beach Boulevard. I pull up. I go in the Starbucks. This is how good God is. I'm standing in line. As I'm standing in line, a young lady comes up behind me and stands there. And then a young man in his 20s comes up, and he has a skateboard in his hand. He has tattoos from top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's got piercings all over, and he's standing there with that skateboard. And I notice him come in, but I notice there's three girls up ahead, two or three. They just get their drinks, and they're making their way out to pass the line. And they stop by this young man, and they start talking to him. They say, oh, hey, you remember us? You know, it was just the other day we were talking. And they had this conversation going on behind me. I didn't catch it all, but I caught this. At the end, the girl said, will we see you tonight? And he said, yeah, man, I'll be there. And so I'm thinking, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and says, they're talking about the tent meeting in Huntington Beach. So I get my drink, get my order in, he gets his order in, we're waiting for drinks. I go over to this young man, I said, listen, were those girls talking to you about a tent meeting in Huntington Beach tonight? He said, yeah, man. I said, I just flew in from Denver to be at that tent meeting, I'm speaking there tonight. And he said, I said, I was saved 40 years ago. I gave my heart to Christ in this area, and I was baptized in this area. He goes, wow. He said, I was saved last week. Now, last week, my 40th birthday, this kid gets saved. Now, come on. Coincidence? Right. He gets saved, and I said, so we get to talk, and then what I notice, he not only has a skateboard, but he has a Bible in his hand already. So he had this Bible, and I said to him, I said, listen, I want to tell you something. What's happening right here? And I kind of went like this. I said, this is God. I said, God is confirming in your heart that decision you made for him last week, that it was real. Because you see, I fly in from Denver. It happened to me 40 years ago. I'm speaking tonight. This is a God thing. And he's like, yeah, wow, man. It blown him away. He's all excited. He said, those girls, they led me to the Lord. They're from Denver. So, man, I got Holy Ghost goosebumps all over me in the Starbucks, you know, And I'm thinking, God, you're so good to this young man. I turn around, I'm walking out, and I hear the voice of God. And the voice of God said, I didn't just do it for him, I did it for you. And the Lord showed me two things. He said, I did it for you. I just wanted to affirm in you that I'm not through yet. That I'm still moving like I moved 40 years ago. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to move again. He's a good God. So I get that affirmation. I tell you, I am stirred. I am really stirred to believe this. I mean, that wasn't just a coincidence. That was something reassuring to me. So I go back to the meeting at 10:30 at this church, and I tell Peter what just happened. He said, you got to share this with the kids, because what they're doing, the 200 plus are meeting there at 10:30 every day, and what they do is they have some praise and worship at this church, and then they share testimonies of what God did the day before as they went out onto the streets. So he said, you got to share that. So I get up and they're out there. I said, listen, where are those three girls? They were at a Starbucks an hour ago. And they're kind of, and these girls go, I don't think they knew what I was going to say. And then I told them what happened. You see what God was then assuring them, that he was with them. And what they were doing was having some fruit in their lives. So we went and had the meeting that night, had a chance to share that was good. And then the next day we had water baptism at Huntington Pier on the beach. I've got a little clip, and this clip, it's hard to understand at all, but it'll give you an idea of the energy, what's happening there. This is on Huntington Beach next to the pier. The camera's shooting down from Huntington Pier. This is Peter Warren on a mic talking. There, I'm on the far end baptizing, and there's another pastor on this side. There was at least 20 that I baptized, and he probably baptized as many people. And these young kids are out there. They're the wave breakers, supposed to be. But as you see, it didn't work. But they were kind of breaking the wave, and we're standing there baptized. But you have to understand, I was baptized 40 years ago in this similar situation, almost to the day. What God was doing. Isn't God good? Come on. And just as each and every one of these walked out there to be baptized, and we were putting them down under, it's like my prayer right here when we baptize people. I said, Lord, I pray that they'll never turn back. I pray, Lord, that they'll continue on with you and that your grace will be upon them, your spirit will be with them, lead them. And I pray that God would raise up leaders once again, not only to bring in the revival. It's one thing to be saved, it's another thing to be a follower of Christ. How many know there's a difference? But to be a follower of Christ, to be effective for the kingdom, and that God would raise up a church. And that's me there. I kind of have that empty spot on the top of my head. I really never knew that I was bald until I saw this picture. I looked down on there. It's amazing. But anyway, that gives you a little bit of a picture of what it was and the energy that was happening there on the beach. There's a lot more to that I could share, but God is good all the time. God is good. I hear something popping. What is that that's popping? It's not in the mic. Okay, let's talk about good God, bad God. Do you hear that? What is that? Huh? Maybe the Spirit of the Lord is trying to talk to us. Let's see. All right, good God, bad God. Here's the kind of contrast we're going. First of all, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, the Bible tells us. When you begin to understand how good God is and truly what his purposes are for mankind. Because you see, we have the wrong idea about God. Next week, I want to point out some of the views and the ideas that people have about God. My personal view was that he was very distant. He wasn't one that wanted to be involved in my life. As a matter of fact, the way I grew up is that you did everything to stay away from. Do I need to use another mic, guys? We're okay. There's someone up there doing something, huh? Very distant, and the only time he showed up is when I did something wrong. I'm sure that some of you had similar views of that. Well, we want to put that together, and we want to begin to see truly what our God is all about. But the God that we serve is a good God. He's a great God above all things. And the contrast is this, is that the God of this world is very confusing. He wants us to live in confusion. He wants us to live in bondage. He wants us to live in darkness, where God wants to do exactly the opposite, to bring us out of it. Matter of fact, he went to an extreme to give his life so that we can be delivered from the bondages that we were living in. I titled this particular message today, Revelation, Not Speculation. Revelation and not speculation. What is the difference between them? First of all, revelation. God reveals himself to us. It was Peter, one of the disciples who were following Jesus, and on their way on the northern part of Israel, they came by Caesarea Philippi. And by that time, there was some noise and questions about who this Jesus is. And he asked his disciples, he said, based on the fact that people were saying things, he said, who do men say that I am? Of course, the response was that you could be this or you could be that. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter stepped forward and he said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' response is important. He said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you." You see, flesh and blood cannot reveal to you. But he said, "My Father that is in heaven revealed that to you." It takes a revelation of God and who he is. It takes a revelation of his goodness and his greatness and his vastness. But we don't stop long enough for God to reveal himself to us. We busy ourselves with the affairs and the cares of this world, and we're blinded by the God of this world from that revelation. But what's speculation? I think some of you know what speculation is. If you're a builder or have anything to do with building, which I did in my past, I know what speculation is. You built homes on speculation. We call them specs. And what you do is you purchase a lot. Speculating. You buy the material, you put the house up, and you're speculating that someone's going to like this house and buy it, but it's total speculation. You're taking a chance, if you will. And that's the difference between revelation and speculation. In the world, we're led by the enemy to take chance. Why don't we speculate on this way of life? So we head down that, we speculate, well, that's what will bring me happiness, or that's what will bring me joy. And we go down that road a little bit, and it doesn't seem to be working out, but yet then we go over here and we begin to speculate what it might be like. There's a difference. Our God is not a God of speculation. You don't have to take a chance whether it's going to work or it's not going to work. Listen, when God reveals himself to you, it is going to work. And when God changes your life, he wants to change your life forever and give you that chance. You don't have to speculate. We live in a world where our universities are speculating on who God is. Our science labs are filled with people that work and labor and spend buku amounts of money trying to speculate that how did the universe come into existence, and they put all their resources and find out, wow, look at, we've discovered the furthest galaxy there is, and we've accomplished something only 2 years down the road, they find another one. See, they're speculating on who God is and what God wants to do for us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "He has delivered us," say it with me, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son." There's a difference. There are two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of darkness. There's where you live under the powers of darkness, the gods of this world. Small g, if you will. But he's delivered us in the dominion of his Son. That's the other kingdom that we live in. How many of you have ever read Pilgrim's Progress in here? You've read Pilgrim's Progress? Listen, for the rest of you who have never read that, let me recommend that reading. There's an old English version, which I'm going to quote out of here. It's written in old English, but there are modern English versions of it. It's a story, allegory of a man who is traveling from the city of destruction to the city of Zion. His name is Christian. And he meets different challenges along the way, and he shares with us through these challenges how God leads him to that city of Zion. Here's a little piece of it. It kind of describes moving from one kingdom to the other kingdom. It says that as he journeyed, Apollyon met him. Now the monster was hideous to behold. He was clothed with scales like fish, and they are his pride. He has wings like a dragon, feet like a bear, and out of his belly came fire and smoke, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. When he was come up to Christian, he beheld him with a disdainful countenance and thus began to question him. "Whence came thou? Whither are you bound?" Christian responds, "I'm come from the city of destruction, which is the place of all evil, and I'm going to the city of Zion." Apollyon says, "By this I perceive thou art one of my subjects, for all that country is mine, and I am the prince and the god of it. How is it then that thou hast run away from thy king?" Christian says, "I was indeed born in your dominions, but your service was hard. Your wages, such as a man could not live on, for the wages of sin is death. Therefore, when I was come to years, I did as other considerate persons do, look out, perhaps I might mend myself." Apollyon says, There is no prince that will thus lightly lose his subjects, neither will I as yet lose thee. But since thou complainest of thy service and wages, be content to go back. And what our country will afford, I do here promise to give thee. Lies. Christian said, but I have let myself to another, even to the king of princes, and how can I with fairness go back with thee? Christian goes on to say, I have given my faith to him, my faith, and sworn my allegiance to him. How then could I go back from this and not be hanged as a traitor? Thou didst the same by me, yet I am willing to pass by all, if now thou wilt yet turn again and go back. Listen, Christian says, what I promised thee was in my nun age. And besides, I count that the prince under whose banner I now stand is able to absolve me, yea, and to pardon also what I did as to my compliance with thee. And besides, O thou destroying Apollyon, to speak truth, I like his service, his wages, his servants, his government, his company and country better than thine. Therefore, leave off to persuade me further. I am his servant, and I will follow him. It's a great description of the God of this world and his deception and darkness that he tries to keep us in, and his promises to provide for us. But the wages are, they're not, that means the wages of sin and darkness. And it takes a revelation to come out of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says that the God of this age has what? Blinded the minds of believers so that they cannot see unbelievers, so they might not see the light. I'll go further than that. Not only does he blind the eyes of unbelievers not to see the revelation of Jesus and his sacrifice, but I think he continues to use that tactic that even along the journey, he tries to blind us to the rewards of serving him and the purposes that he has for us. And that's why we have to be aware to resist him and to see that he is a God of confusion. But Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, I said it before, the goodness, say it with me, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Psalm 107 and five verses in Psalm 107, verse 8, 9, 15, 21, and 31. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. There's a vast difference between the two. And each one needs to be considered as we go along the journey. Let's talk about our God gives revelation, not speculation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 11 and 12. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. I like what Paul puts this in it. Not the spirit of the world. Why? Because the spirit of the world brings confusion and fear and torment. That's the spirit of the world. So if you're living in confusion, you're living in fear, you're living in torment, that there's a control of the spirit of this world over you. But it says, but the Spirit who is from God, we've been given that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God wants to reveal these things to us. He has so much more for us. And I guess my challenge today is not only to new believers, or not only to those that are seeking, and maybe you have not yet made the decision to follow Christ and give him your life. It goes beyond that, and I pray if there be anyone here today that hasn't made that decision, that you allow God to reveal his love and his grace and his mercy to you. Allow him to reveal to you not only his mercy, but your need for a Savior. My prayer today is God will open up our eyes and our understanding to reveal to us all the things God has for us. Because I fear that we limit him in so many ways. One of the greatest fears that I have, and I call it a fear, but it's not really a tormenting fear, but one of the greatest concerns that I have as a pastor of this church is that we reached an age, and they say that when churches reach an age of 25, they begin to come to a place of complacency. And we've gone past the 25, and God has been gracious to us, but the point here is that historically, look back at what has taken place with churches that 40 years ago sprung up and were on fire for God and had a transforming effect on the world because they yielded themselves to God. Why? Because they were open to new revelation and God moving in a new way. But what happens? that people just stop. My greatest concern is that we stop. And I'm talking to you. I'm talking to myself. I believe that God stirred me in a gracious way, that because of the position he's put me in. But just to stir me is not enough. I'm not satisfied with that. I want him to stir your heart. I want us to link arms together and see the kingdom of God. I want us to reveal that his will and his purposes are going to take us up to the day that he returns. Are you just satisfied with middle-of-the-road experience with Christ, or do you want to go further? It's open. God has given us his spirit. He has provided everything for us to do it. But there are things that creep into our lives. The God of this world has a way. Listen, do not underestimate his power. Do not underestimate that the things that he can do and deceive him. Do not just say, well, the devil is dealt with it. Listen, he comes in his manipulative ways and deceptive ways to get in your life and get you distracted. And it just gets you a little distracted with the cares of this world and other opportunities and get your mind off seeking and get you involved in good things. I believe that you're good people. I believe you want to do what is good. But listen, there's something even better than good. And that's God's way and God's revelation. So we need to take seriously the prayer that would say, God, what is it? Is there anything in me that needs to be changed? Let me give you two thoughts and then we'll dismiss for today. Number one, let the good God reveal himself to you. And he does that in several different ways. But let him reveal himself. First of all, it might sound pretty simple, but let's take creation. Let God continue to reveal himself. Don't take for granted. There's an old proverb that says, let on your journey take time to smell the roses. Well, there's some truth in that. Listen, take time to just bask in the wonders of God. Because as you take time and just the very simple things, don't take for granted the world that God has created. Don't worship God's creation and take granted that it come from God. Because it's the very simple things that can expand your understanding even in a greater way of the bigness of our God. Just looking at that tree. Amazed at its growth, amazed as it changes in its season and comes back to life again in God's other creation. There's a revelation that comes from his creation that's healthy and good and just doesn't happen one time but can continue. Another way he reveals himself is through the incarnation. The incarnation is when Jesus Christ became a man, fully God, fully man. He took on flesh, that incarnation. And then he lived the life. So he revealed the Father through his life. Study the life of Jesus. Think about what he taught. Think about what he pointed out. That's a revelation of God. The Bible is another way. I can't tell you how valuable this book is. Just this past month, we have over 100 people that are taking seriously the Word of God and are in the Bible school right now. The Institute, and they're studying today and on Tuesdays. They want to go deeper. They're committing their Tuesday evenings and Sundays to a study and then a week long of pursuing a subject. Why? Because you see, this book, you want to know what the will of God is? Here it is. This is the revealed will of God for us. Now, specifically, God's going to lead you and direct you, but these are revealed will. You want to know how to make a decision for your family? You want to know how to love your wife? You love your husband? You want to know how to respond to conflict and people? It's all right here. This is the revealed will of God. But do we take the time to really get in a Bible study, to go out of our way? And what keeps us from doing that? That's the bigger question. What's keeping you from pursuing the things that will bring greater revelation to you? Think about it for a moment. Well, you say, man, I put in 50, 60 hours a week, okay? And I like, you know, on my days off when I get rest, I want to, all right. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with anything, but consider, are they taking you from pursuing what is the most important thing, and that is the kingdom of God and his will for your life as it pertains to the kingdom of God. God's promises to me, my God's bigger. He can handle that. You see, we can't handle the kind of pressures. If we speculate on this is how we're going to have a better life, you can speculate until Jesus comes back and live a miserable life. Why speculate? Speculate when God wants to reveal it to you. And what you, now you thought would have been the way that brings the happiness and joy, it's exactly opposite of it. But God says to me that when you seek the kingdom of God, I'll take care of all your other needs. When you lose your life, you're going to gain your life. You see, just the opposite of maybe the way we have been living. And let me point out this one. This came to me this week, and I had to add it. God reveals himself through others. Now, this is important in two ways. First of all, it was important to me when I first came to Christ. When I first came to Christ, it was 40 years ago, as I mentioned. How did that happen? I came to a wedding. And I came to a wedding to participate in a wedding of my brother. And my brother, I knew what his life was apart from God. I knew the mess that he was in. I knew the confusion that he was in. I thought he was more confused than I was confused, but he was definitely more confused than I was. And he says the same thing about me. But I knew that. And then when I saw his life straightened out, and I saw that he loved Jesus, and I saw that he was pursuing the things of God, that had an impact. And I saw the people he was hanging around with. It had an impact. And when I left that, it was the impact that had on me that helped God reveal himself to me. Now, it was important because it revealed him. But think about this. You are a testament for Jesus Christ. You are a story for God. God wants to use your life to have an impact on others, and you could be walking down the street and never know who it is, but just because of who you are and what you're pursuing and your testimony that you have, that person has been impacted for God to reveal himself to them. That's an awesome responsibility. And it's one that's around us all the time. So every time you make a decision, you're making a choice, especially when you're out there in public, make sure that it's going to bring glory to God. Because God's setting you up to use you in other people's lives. Is your life a testament for him? For God to be revealed to them. Second part of this is let the good God grow your faith in his revelation. God wants to grow your faith. Dennis, why don't you come on up here? We're going to go into the end here. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God wants to grow you. This is an introduction to this, but it's important that we hear these things today, that as we move forward in understanding this, the difference between a good God and a bad God and the ways of a good God versus the ways of the bad small g God, that maybe we can, it'll help us sort some things out in our life that we make the right decisions. Would you stand with me, please? There's so much more we're going to share in this area, but here's the challenge for us today. As we get ready, let's give God our undivided attention. This could be the most important part of the whole message, and this is where the Spirit of God will begin to challenge you and stir your heart up and maybe bring some things to your attention that need His attention.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.